Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take complex sources, often shared by you, and really unpack them. We do the heavy lifting to pull out the key ideas.
And today, we're tackling something from theoretical probability. It's a paper by Raluca Balan and Lechen called Parabolic Anderson Model with Spacetime Homogeneous Gaussian Noise and Rough Initial Condition.
Okay, probability theory. Sounds intense. What's the parabolic Anderson model, sort of, in a nutshell?
Well, you can think of the PAM as a way to model how something spreads out, maybe like heat, but in a random environment. It's a type of stochastic heat equation.
Stochastic meaning random.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's key here is that the randomness, the noise, is multiplied by the solution itself. So where there's more stuff, the random effect is stronger. And the noise they study is very general. It's statistically the same everywhere in space and time. Homogeneous.
Okay, uniform randomness amplifying itself. And the title mentions a rough initial condition. That sounds messy.
It can be. Instead of starting nice and smooth, they allow for what's called a signed Borel measure. Think of it like starting with really sharp peaks, maybe even some positive and negative areas all at once. Much less restrictive than usual.
Okay. So a messy start, uniform randomness. But we can still figure things out. What are we trying to learn here?
Yeah, that's the goal. Even with this complexity, the paper asks, does a solution even exist? Is it unique? How does it behave over time? How smooth or, you know, how regular is it? And there are some surprising findings, especially about how the noise's time correlation and these rough starts interact.
Interesting. Okay, sounds like a proper deep dive is needed. Where do we start?
Let's start with the equation itself, the core SPDE, the stochastic partial differential equation. It basically says the rate of change of our quantity, let's call it U, depends on three things.
Okay, what are they?
First, there's the usual diffusion, like heat spreading out. That's the Laplacian term. Second, there's the noise term, which is proportional to U itself. And third, there's the initial state, U, that rough starting point we mentioned.
Right, so diffusion, self-amplifying noise, and the initial setup. And this noise, you said it's Gaussian. What about these gamma and off functions in the paper?
Right, it's zero mean Gaussian noise. The gamma function describes how the noise at one time is correlated with the noise at another time. And the F function does the same for space. How correlated is the noise here versus over there?
Okay, so gamma for time correlation, S for space.
Exactly. And technically, these are linked to the Fourier transforms of certain measures, which is a mathematical way of confirming the noise statistics don't change depending on where or when you look. That's the homogeneity.
Got it. And back to the rough start, the signed Borel measure, there's a condition on its exponential decay. Why that constraint?
Ah, yes. That's important. It essentially says the initial condition can't grow too wildly as you go infinitely far away. Even if it's rough up close, it needs to be somewhat contained overall. It stops things from blowing up immediately just because of the starting point.
Okay, keeps the initial roughness from being infinitely problematic. So how do they actually define a solution in this random rough world?
They work with what's called a mild solution.
Yeah.
This involves using the heat kernel, the basic solution without noise, and the Skorohud integral.
Skorohud integral? Sounds technical.
It is a bit, yeah. But it's basically a special way to handle integrals when the thing you're integrating with respect to is random, like our space-time noise. It's the right tool for this kind of stochastic calculus.
Oh, a tool for integrating randomness. So how do they find this mild solution? What's the approach?
The main technique is the Wiener chaos expansion. You represent the solution U as an infinite sum or series.
An infinite sum?
Yeah. The first term is basically the initial condition evolving deterministically. The second term involves one interaction with the noise. The third involves two interactions and so on. Each term is a multiple stochastic integral.
Okay, breaking down the randomness layer by layer.
Precisely. And each term, the nth term, has a kernel function called Fn built from the heat kernel and the initial condition.
The paper talks about Lemma 2.4 helping with these kernels. What's the significance there?
Lemma 2.4 is a neat identity. It shows how multiplying two heat kernels gives you another heat kernel, just shifted in time and space. It's a tool that lets them rewrite that kernel, Emesson, in a more manageable form, explicitly showing how the initial measure Uni influences things down the line.
Ah, so it helps track the initial condition's effect through the noise. Then there's DeLange's condition. That pops up a lot in SPDEs, right?
It does, yeah. DeLange's condition is crucial. It puts a restriction on the spatial noise, specifically on its spectral measure, which is related to the Fourier transform of that function R. It essentially limits how much energy the noise has at very high spatial frequencies, how spiky it can be locally.
So it stops the spatial noise from being too wild.
Exactly. If the noise is too rough in space, solutions often don't exist. The paper assumes DeLange's condition holds.
Okay, that makes sense. So after setting all this up, they get to Theorem 2.3. What's the criterion for existence and uniqueness?
Theorem 2.3 states that a unique mild solution exists if, and only if, that Wiener chaos expansion converges in L2. L2 convergence basically means the average squared size of the solution is finite. It boils down to whether the sum of the variances of those stochastic integral terms adds up.
So does the infinite sum settle down, essentially?
It's pretty much. And then Theorem 2.6 confirms that, yes, under DeLange's condition, those kernel functions av are actually in the right mathematical space for this whole expansion to work and for the integrals to be well-defined.
Okay, so the pieces fit together. Now, the proof of existence itself, Theorem 1.1a, seems quite involved. Lots of lemmas.
It is quite technical.
Yeah.
But the core strategy is to get bounds, upper limits, on the size, specifically the L2 norm or variance, of each term in the Wiener chaos expansion.
Okay, bounding each random piece.
Right. They look at a quantity alpha related to the variance of the nth term Gagnon lemma 3.1, helps handle integrals involving the time correlation, gamma. They bound alpha using epsilon, which captures the integrated effect of gamma, and another term, subdex. Then lemma 3.2 bounds that term, px, using 4D analysis and properties of the initial measure mu or zero. Index back to the start.
Following so far, it's like a chain.
It is. Lemma 3.3 then gives a key inequality for the variance of Jn involving epsilon and a term f. And lemma 3.4, a maximum principle for measures in Fourier space, helps control Idn.
Okay.
Which leads to lemma 3.5, giving a bound on N using a function Ke that's derived from the spatial correlation function f. So now we've linked space and time bounds.
Right. Bringing it all together.
Almost. They define a sequence of functions HNT recursively using KT. Lemma 3.6 bounds an integral related to JN using HNT. If a special condition 1.1 about the noise at frequency 0 holds, lemma 3.7 gives a simpler bound on HNT.
Wow. Okay. A lot of steps.
Yeah. Finally, lemma 3.8 looks at the sum of these HNT terms, defining functions H and H canard. It shows these sums are finite and their gross rate relates back to DeLange's condition. Putting all these bounds together shows that the sum of the variances of Jn is finite, meaning the Wiener chaos series converges in L2.
And that proves existence and uniqueness from Theorem 2.3.
Exactly. That's Theorem 1.1a. It also gives a moment, bound a limit on the average size of the solution, and establishes its continuity in LP sense.
That's a really impressive, intricate argument. So what happens if the time correlation gamma is simpler, like if it decays quickly?
That's Theorem 1.1b. If gamma is integrable, meaning its total effect over time is finite, then they show the solution's moments grow exponentially, but the rate is bounded independently of the spatial correlation details. The long-term growth depends mostly on the overall strength of the noise and that time integral epsilon.
Interesting. So a fast-fading time memory kind of averages out the spatial details in the long run.
Sort of, yeah. It requires a slightly stronger decay condition on the initial measure, too, though.
Okay. And what about that special condition, 1.11?
That's Theorem 1.1c. This condition can only hold in dimensions 3 or higher. If it holds, there's a critical noise strength, lambda crit. If the actual noise strength, lambda, is below this critical value,
then
the exponential growth rate of the moments is 0. The solution doesn't grow exponentially large on average over time. It suggests a kind of stability for weak noise in higher dimensions.
So noise intensity really matters for long-term stability. The paper also looks at a specific spatial noise, the Ries kernel.
Yes, Theorem 1.2. The Ries kernel is defined by a power law related to a parameter alpha. For this specific case, they can refine the bounds, particularly the one from lemma 3.5. They use another technical lemma, 4.1, and introduce the Mittag-Leffler function, a special function that pops up in fractional calculus in related areas.
Okay.
And the result is a much more precise bound on the solution's moments, inequality 1.12. It involves this Mittag-Leffler function in terms depending explicitly on the noise strength lambda, the time integral epsilon, and the Ries parameter alpha. It gives a sharper picture for that specific noise type.
So more detail when you know the exact spatial structure. What about smoothness, Holder continuity?
Right, that's Theorem 1.3. Holder continuity measures how wiggly or smooth the solution path is. If you move a small distance in space or time, how much can the solution change?
Okay.
The theorem says that if a condition, 1.13, on the noise's spectral measure holds, then the solution has a version that is holder continuous in both space and time. Lemma 5.1 connects this condition to the integrability of KS1 beta, relating frequency content to time behavior.
And how do they prove this smoothness?
The proof involves looking at the expected difference of the solution at nearby points in time, both forwards and backwards, and nearby points in space. They use estimates derived in the appendix and careful analysis involving the heat kernel and the Wiener chaos expansion again. It's quite detailed.
And the surprising part you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the really interesting bit highlighted in remark 1.4 in the intro is that the required condition 1.13 and the resulting Holder exponent seem to depend only on the spatial structure of the noise captured by F, or its spectral measure. The temporal correlation, gamma, doesn't appear to affect the path regularity.
Wait, really? So whether the noise changes quickly or slowly in time doesn't change how smooth the solution is?
Apparently not, according to their analysis. The smoothness, the Holder continuity, seems determined by the spatial roughness of the noise, not its temporal memory. It's quite counterintuitive.
That is unexpected. So remark 1.4 wraps things up.
Mostly, yes. It notes that finding sharp lower bounds for moments is still hard, especially for very concentrated initial conditions like a Dirac delta. It also confirms their results match known results for simpler white noise cases, and points out that for some initial conditions, the very first term of the series might actually be infinite, which requires careful handling.
So still open questions there. Okay, well, we've certainly covered a lot of ground from this paper. What are the big takeaways for us?
I'd say the key points are, one, they rigorously show solutions exist for PAM with very general homogeneous noise and rough starts. Two, the long-term behavior changes depending on whether the noise's time correlation fades quickly or not. Three, for specific noise like the Ries kernel, you can get very precise moment bounds. And four, perhaps most strikingly, the solution's smoothness, its Holder continuity, seems independent of the noise's time correlation.
It's amazing how much insight can be pulled from such an abstract mathematical model. It gives us a powerful audio overview of these complex dynamics.
Definitely.
So a final thought then for you, our listener. Think about how these findings might apply to real systems with randomness. If you have a system starting in a very uneven state, how predictable is its long-term future when random forces are at play? And what does it mean practically if we know the system state will be continuous, even Holder continuous, but the degree of smoothness doesn't depend on how quickly the random environment fluctuates over time? Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.